you're here. LSU, Rita, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, July 13th, Memorization Monday 2020. And I couldn't wait to reintroduce these three special guests along with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday co-host Marianne Simpkins. And if you were tuned in last Tuesday for Testimony Tuesday, we just didn't have enough time to share some of the ministry moments, the God working in these three special guests' lives, and the work that they're going to continue to do in the days ahead. So we brought them back on this Memorization Monday to talk about a special verse, Philippians 4:5, that says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Oh, what a reassuring special verse for us all today and for this week, and hopefully maybe for some of you a life verse. Philippians 4:5, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." To all, everyone. And then, "The Lord is near." We had so much testimony time last Tuesday, which that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. So if you missed it, I encourage you, I exhort you, go to the website and listen to it, because it'll help you maybe better understand some of today's conversation and sharing. But I want to start with Destiny. And Destiny, I appreciate your spirit, your heart. Destiny is one of my favorite kinds of people to have interviewed, because she's a little reluctant, maybe a little insecure. She says, "Oh, Mark, my language skills, and I'm not really sure."
English.
I know she does, but I love that she was a little hesitant and doesn't want the glory or the fame. And so, but what we found out about you last week, Destiny, was your gentleness, your kind heart, your love for the Lord, and your behind the scenes maybe work and your support of your husband, Charles. But do you have any thoughts before we have Pastor John from the First United Methodist Church of Paxton share a little about this verse too? But any thoughts on "Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near"?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I always feel pretty sure that Lord loves us, and we should show that through loving others. No matter what the kind of situation they are facing, they are passing through, we have to show the love of God. Because when he came, he didn't choose that, "Well, I'm going to save only the rich people. I'm going to choose maybe the well-being, some kind of people who are well off."
Yeah.
So he came for everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yes.
Sometimes when we are in Africa, in Uganda, back home, I feel my love goes to most vulnerable people. So I feel I really want to show that love in some ways I can really do, share what I have, share the word of God to them that God really loves you. Don't feel guilty of yourself. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we feel, "Well, I can't go before the Lord because I'm a Muslim. I can't go before the Lord because maybe my background is like this." But we have to know that God loves us, and we should really love back others, because God is more like love.
Yeah, yeah.
God is love. So in order to show people that you believe in God, they have to see the love you have for others.
Now, Marianne, I'm going to already derail this Memorization Monday with a side tangent, because last week on Testimony Tuesday, Charles got to share some of his faith journey and his testimony. And you made an interesting comment, Destiny, about your Muslim mother. And so I would assume maybe you grew up in a Muslim household. How did you come to know the Lord? So we're going to get a little bit of a Testimony Tuesday on this Memorization Monday, and then we'll have Marianne do a special reading from our book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And then we'll see Charles, who knows and loves to preach, and then Pastor John, how we can continue to flesh out maybe some of the thoughts that God would have us all learn on this great verse, Philippians 4:5. So tell us a little about growing up, and then how did you come to know the Lord Jesus?
Yeah, thank you again. I was born in a Muslim background, mm-hmm. but I moved out from my mother's house when I was still a young girl. I was probably maybe 5 years old. Mm. I went to stay with my auntie, my sister to my mother. So I went to visit her. It mm. was more like a visiting. So I ended up living with her for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I went there, they were Christians because even my mom, she was not born a Muslim. Mm-hmm. She just married a Muslim man. Mm-hmm. They were Catholics. So I went to stay a Catholic home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I got to there, I had friends around, you know, children playing together in a community. So I had friends, young children of a pastor mm-hmm. in the community. Mm-hmm. So when we are playing, fetching water, collecting firewood, they used to tell me about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know who Jesus was. By the way, I was not called Destiny. Mm. That was the name I was given after I chose to follow Jesus Christ. Mm. So I was called Lukia. Mm. That is a Muslim name, meaning growth. Mm. So they used to tell me, you know, Lukia, God loves people, and you should give your life to Jesus, because, you know, Jesus can do such and such. He is a loving man. So I chose one day. I said, okay, I'll come and visit you. So the following day, I told my auntie, well, I want to go and visit my friends at the mm. church. She said, okay, it's fine. She gave me the offer, like the offering in the church. I went there. When they called people who wanted to give their lives to Christ, I was one of them. I was still young. By then, I was like 10 years old. So I went. They prayed for me. And, well, everything was fine. When I came back home, unfortunately, our dad, like my uncle, died. And we had to move from our home to a children's village. Mm-hmm. Children's home. It was an orphanage.
Yeah, children's home.
Yes, so we moved from our home to a children's home. When I got to there, it was a Christian foundation. Mm. So it helped me to, like, to
kind of develop, discipled, grow.
Yes, to disciple faith. Me and make me grow like in Christ. And when I got to there, everyone was excited about me. They really loved me. They loved me more than everyone there. Mm. So each and every opportunity which came in, like if you want to go and maybe serve in a Sunday school, it was all about me. So I went. I used to sing in a Sunday school. I used to teach those young ones to preach. But where I used to preach, but I didn't know what I was preaching.
Well, you can preach.
Yes. Reading from the Bible and telling them everything, my stories. So one day, I had a dream after I was taken in the children's home. I had a dream. Jesus was on this side and Satan was on this side. But during that day, I sometimes felt, well, God, do you really love me? Do I deserve to be in your presence? Because I used to look back, mm-hmm. like back in my background.
Right.
I used to see, well, my parents are like this. My brothers are like this. Well, do I deserve this love, Lord? Mm. So I was stressed. I was thinking about the God is love. I really deserve this love. And that night I had a dream. Jesus was on this side and Satan was on this side. I was just in the middle. Then Satan was holding my hand, pulling me over his side, mm-hmm. like to take me, go with him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, Jesus, I don't want to go with him. I was crying in the dream. And Jesus held my hand this side. They started pulling. I was just in the middle. Satan pulling on this side and Jesus pulling on this side. And all of a sudden, Jesus pulled me and said, leave this girl. He's my child. Leave her. Then Jesus pulled me over this side. Mm-hmm. He had prepared a table. You know, I love chapati, like flat bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So he had prepared a table full of bread.
Oh, my.
Because and after winning me bread, to this side, he served me. Mm. And I felt so nice. I felt so nice. Yeah. So since that day, I've never going back.
Oh, what a testimony.
And probably the struggle that you had in this dream is a struggle that many of our listeners may even have today or have had, that I don't deserve God's love. Yeah. I'm not a good person. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. Yeah. How could he ever accept me? But the Lord is a loving, full of grace, full of mercy, wanting all of us to experience his love. And he's the perfect Father God that reaches down, and no matter what we've done or where we've been, he reaches out to us and loves us. You know, Marianne, I've done it again. I failed to introduce our special guest. We're three quarters into the program.
We got in the studio, Mark. Yeah.
And I got so excited with sharing some of their stories. So if you missed last week's Testimony Tuesday, there was a more complete, a fuller introduction, but I'll let you, Marianne, maybe recap very briefly who is with us in the studio. But if you stop by greatnewsradio.org, and go to our archive programs link, last Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, you'll get a more fuller introduction. But these special guests, we so loved them last week, we have them back today.
Well, we have Charles and Destiny Magumba in the studio, both just simply marvelous people. I'm so blessed to know.
Yes. Yeah, and they're part of three ministries, the Freedom Project, the Child Celebration Network, and then the Freedom Missions Project that was recently started here in the United States, a 501c3 ministry, so all donations are accounted for and would go to help this ministry.
Yes.
And let me give Charles' phone number out in case people want to follow up and have these two come and share with their large group or their church or get to know their mission and their ministry. They can call 217-530-5760. 217-530-5760. And part of the reason they're still here in the United States, after actually coming basically for about 10 days for a prayer ministry and to share, because of COVID-19 starting back in March, they've been here now 3.5 months and are saying, okay, Lord, here we're stuck in the United States. What do you want us to do?
Well,
so they're doing odd jobs, cleaning houses,
well.
Cutting lawns, landscaping, helping out, raising some money, and preaching. In fact, I think Charles can be heard on WPXN in Paxton
every Sunday,
so you might be familiar with his voice. And Pastor John, who's the pastor at the First United Methodist Church of Paxton, you were kind of some of the catalysts to invite them months ago. Back in February, you were talking about a special prayer ministry that your church was hosting, and so you worked out the arrangements. And so we wanted to have you back, too, to share a little on this verse. And so maybe summarize quickly what happened that kept them here, and how you're seeing God use them now.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad to be here again today, Mark and Marianne. I got an email from Charles back at the end of February. We were having a prayer seminar at our church in March, and they were already planning to come to the United States for another seminar down in Goodlettsville, Tennessee in April. But he asked if they could come and be a part of our prayer seminar, which we were glad to have them come, and made arrangements for them to stay in Paxton for about 10 days. But at the end of that time, the COVID-19 stay-at-home order came into effect. And so they've been with us for about 3.5 months now.
Yeah.
And Charles and Destiny have been a real blessing to us and to our community and our church over these last 3.5 months that they've been here with us.
Today's program and their interview on Testimony Tuesday is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Well, this being Memorization Monday, we're looking at Philippians 4:5, which says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And Marianne, how about reading this section out of 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan, and then we'll talk a little more about it with our remaining couple minutes.
I will, but I may hold you hostage on something.
Oh, yeah.
I will read this, but I want to request that we have Charles come back and preach a sermon to our listeners at some point here.
He has a double thumbs up.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I want that to happen. It was a real blessing to me, Tuesday, just the part he said about the scripture. Philippians 4:5. Here is what Robert J. Morgan has to say about our passage. "Here are the next two steps into a peaceful mind. Be gracious to others, and remind yourself of God's nearness." Destiny, you could never have planned such a perfect thing to say that just goes with this.
Isn't it like God?
Yeah.
For those of you that have heard some of our past memorization Mondays, it seems like God always raises up the right person, the circumstance, the background. The one time we had the Jewish friend, and it was all about the Jewish evangelist, and over and over again.
And just talking about the love you feel from God and the love and graciousness you extend to others is perfect.
Yes.
Okay, Paul was writing to the church in the city of Philippi, one of the dearest congregations in the New Testament. They were generous to Paul, sending him financial help time and again. But there was internal strife in the church, and at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul addressed it. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Have you noticed that interpersonal relationships are a major source of stress? Most of the things we worry about involve other people in one way or another. Perhaps we're not getting along with coworkers or fellow church members, or perhaps there's tension in our home. If we can't put out all the fires, at least we can lower the temperature by being gentle and gracious. Mm-hmm. That does not mean being weak or fragile. It means we're moderate in our reactions and pleasant in our demeanors. Let your graciousness be known to everyone.
I'm sure some of the listeners now are giving out an amen because, you know, we can have a tendency, we're right and we're going to enforce what we believe is true and not being gentle or considered or compassionate or just letting it simmer. Let it go for a little while, pray it up, and then respond.
Yes.
The third step in overcoming worry is to remember the closeness of our Lord. The Lord is near. There are two ways to interpret this, in terms of either time or space. Paul may have meant the Lord's return is near, making this a reference to the second coming, or he might have meant the Lord's presence is near us all the time. Both are true, but it seems to me that the second is preferable. We don't need to worry, for our Lord is with us, near us, all around us. Practicing his presence day and night is of greatest comfort to the people of God. It's our supreme secret, our deepest solace, our strongest weapon. The Lord is near. The Lord is here, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
I got to jump in again.
No,
I love this, practicing his presence day and night. Isn't there a book, Practicing the Presence of the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah, that habit, that pattern of always trying to enter into that relationship with God, practicing that presence throughout the whole day.
Yes.
Sir William Dobie was a British war hero and devoted Christian who during World War II was given command of the Malta. Dobie told the ill-prepared islanders that God was a very present help in trouble, and against all odds, Malta did not fall. Allied battleships in its harbor were sitting ducks for the enemy, but the ships were never hit. A bomb fell through the roof of the village church, but it didn't go off. Nearly 300 enemy planes were destroyed and 600 others damaged. Allied forces in Malta threatened enemy supply lines and prevented Axis planes from reaching Europe. Dobie's men said he possessed an inner calm impossible to understand. After the war, he wrote a book about the miracle of Malta. He entitled his account, A Very Present Help. And here's a quote from him. I found that God was to me a resource, capital R, and a helper, capital H, to whom I could always turn, that he was, in fact, a very present help in trouble. That fact made all the difference to me.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
I love this verse from Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul lists gentleness in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5.
That's
also
true.
It's, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. God wants to cultivate that in us so that we can be gentle in our relationships with other people all the time. We've all heard it said, actions speak louder than words.
They do.
And the way that we interact with other people says a lot more than even the words that we say to them. Mm-hmm. And so we need to keep that in mind, that God wants that gentleness in us to come out of us in our loving relationships with others. And be reminded also that in John 3:16 it says, God so loved the world. Who? Mm-hmm. The world.
Yes,
God
yes.
loves everyone, and we should be loving toward everyone in the way that we approach them as well.
It's a good word.
Yes. Yeah, let your gentleness be evident to all, not just your yes. friends, not just uh-huh. those around you, not just those that agree with you, but to all. Maybe the people that are hostile to you, the people that aren't comfortable with who you are, let it be evident to all. And then that really does show the fragrance of Christ upon you.
Yes.
That being evident to all means that you're consistent, not just around your closest friends, but mm-hmm. to everyone. And then the fact that we exhibit that the Lord is near, because where we are as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives and abides in us. So where we're at, the Lord is not only near, but the Lord should be ever present. So,
yes.
Hey, we're going to give you, Charles, the last word as we close out. And like Marianne said, she's going to hold my feet to the fire.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back to maybe preach a message.
I want during you to preach it. Preach the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So just for now, you give us a word.
Okay. I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. My version actually says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is near. I think that one way we can learn to be gentle with others, to be gracious with others, is by being reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
If someone makes a mistake, I should look into my life. Is it reasonable for me to judge them and be harsh with them? Could I do the same thing? Have I done similar things in the past? Or is there sin in my life mm-hmm. as well? Mm-hmm. So I think that when you learn to be reasonable in dealing with others, you learn to be more gracious yeah. with them. And there's something special about being gracious. You know, the world loves strong men and strong women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Putins and the others, you know, of this world. The very strong ones. But God loves gentleness and mercy. And that's why he says to us that we should come boldly, not at the throne of judgment. We come with boldness to the throne of grace so that we can find mercy and find grace in our time of need. So,
yes.
you know, we need to be gracious to one another
yes.
and to be reasonable in dealing with others in this life.
I just have to say something. That is the best antidote to judgmentalism, is reasonableness. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, when he
wow.
said reasonableness, I thought of that parable that Jesus talked about, taking the plank out of our own eye before
yeah.
we
mm-hmm.
worry about the speck in someone else's mm-hmm. eye.
Yes.
That,
but
you know,
it,
yes.
we got to be reasonable and
But it's so true, Charles. Reasonableness, reasoning mm-hmm. in your own mind about this thing instead of judging it,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. that's powerful.
Yeah, give
yes.
people the benefit
yes.
of the doubt. I think all the time, you know, when I'm driving and you
oh,
know,
dear.
Somebody slows down or cuts off or does something and I get angry and I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's the only time they ever did that. Have I ever done that to somebody else where I forgot to do something and then probably frustrated them? And I think, you know, I got to cut them some slack because maybe that's the only time they were distracted or mm-hmm. whatever. And so sometimes
yeah.
we need to be more reasonable and put ourselves in their
mm-hmm.
shoes. What pressure are they under? What heartache are they experiencing? Maybe they were short with us because of their temperament, because of no sleep, because they were up all night. Put ourselves yeah. in their shoes sometimes.
Well, I'm just
be reasonable.
I'm totally impressed, Mark, with this
yes.
because you've given a number of illustrations that involve your driving at various
yes.
times.
Yes.
And this is the best one. I mean, this is good. This is hopeful.
Got to be reasonable.
This
be
is hopeful.
Hey, everyone. This program is archived. If you missed a portion of it, stop by greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under our archive programs link. Well, I'm going to close out this program with an appropriate song by Bert Kenninger titled Softly and Tenderly, as God is patiently and lovingly and gently calling you to himself because he loves you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, Charles and Destiny Magumba, and Pastor John Hauck with the Great News Media Group. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. On the portals he you and for me. Pardon for you and for me.